it's time. It is that time. Time for Stiles and Watkins.
You can join the show by texting 916-339-1140. Find us on YouTube at Sactown Sports 1140.
It's time for Alan Stiles and Chris Watkins.
Yes, yes, yes. On a Tuesday, Stiles and Watkins, Sactown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m., getting you ready for Bucks at Kings. That's right. Will the Kings be able to break that losing streak? Will they be able to avenge that heartbreaking loss in Milwaukee when Damian Lillard, was that the last time he's done the Dame Time celebration? I feel like we have not seen him do that since it was in Milwaukee. And back then, the Kings couldn't shoot free throws. Now, they can do nothing else besides shoot free throws. So maybe tonight is the night where everything will come together. You got Nate Littlefield behind the glass. We have Chris Watkins ready to rock and roll. How you doing?
Yo. I'm doing all right. You know, after the NFL free agency storm that was yesterday, you know, obviously, for those who know where my allegiances lie, lost a quarterback, got another one. Don't know quite how I'm feeling about it. Got Chris Middleton questionable tonight. Keegan questionable tonight. Kings obviously on a 15-game losing streak to Milwaukee. So
1-5.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see how that goes.
1-5.
1-5. 1-5.
That is incredible.
15 straight losses to one opponent. It's pretty. It's honestly pretty impressive. I would love to know. There's like they have to be approaching a record here. They have not beaten the Bucks. What were you doing in February 2016? Do you remember anything? Not to put you on the spot there.
But summer 16 was Drizzy, so getting ready for that Drizzy
there
album.
You go.
That's what I was doing. Wow.
And the Kings were beating the Bucks for the last time in
2016.
It's been 8 years.
How long has Giannis been in the league?
About 10. So I mean they've barely. I think they've probably beaten Giannis like maybe twice in his entire career.
Wow.
So, yeah.
And that's before he was good.
Yeah.
He was shredded.
Giannis entered the league in 2013-14. So, yeah. Pretty much since Giannis has been an all-star, the Kings have not beaten the Bucks.
Well, tonight's
the
night.
All-star in 2016.
At first it was, you know, we talk about not playing. This was one of those rare games that we haven't seen from the Kings, really, Chris, in Milwaukee. This was when the Kings did show up.
That's
there was
right.
a little bit of a collapse at the end with the free throws, but to lose on the buzzer beater, the Kings, you felt like they still had done just enough. So this was one of those rare wins where they did show up for the most
143
part.
142 points. That's pretty decent. You know?
That's
going to win you more games than it's going to lose
typically,
you.
Typically. And that was when they still had Adrian Griffin, no?
Yes, it was.
That's when you thought the
Kings had JTA. That's how
the Kings had JTA. And look, where is JTA? Can you bring back JTA?
He was in Sacramento the other day for Stockton Kings versus Mexico City Capitanes.
So he's back playing with the Mexico team?
Back with Mexico City, yep.
Huh. Well, it was a good run.
Yeah, it was a great run.
It was also a pretty good run for Derrick Henry in Tennessee.
Man.
He is now a Baltimore Raven. And I'm sure Chris and I weren't the only ones. And we were hearing a lot of Cowboys talk with Derrick Henry because they just don't really have a running back besides.
That's right. They lost Tony
Pollard. I forgot. Yeah, they lost Tony Pollard. They essentially have Deuce Vaughn.
That's right.
And that's
what a contrast that would have been.
Right.
Derrick Henry.
Oh, I would have needed that.
6'2". It would have been like the Aaron Judge Altuve picture. I would have loved that.
Yeah,
that would have been great.
That's some thunder and lightning right there. But you have Derrick Henry now going to the Ravens. And honestly, I don't know how different these timelines are. Everybody says, oh, you know, the running back timeline isn't as long, things like that. If you look at where Lamar Jackson is and this the running quarterback thing, I'm not saying that he doesn't have a lot of time left, but what I'm saying is you got to act now. I don't know that you're going to have Lamar for another 7 to 10 years.
Right, not at this level, man.
Not at this level.
One lower body injury with him, and he's probably different.
So you need to take a swing. And people have already said, you know what's crazy is people have already said, if you fire up highlights from a couple years ago, Lamar already looks different.
Yeah.
Now, the idea was that he would improve as a passer as he ran less.
Right.
That did not happen in the playoffs, but it has happened to some degree. Sure. So that's a huge deal for Baltimore. We have all of the news to get through, a lot of movement here in the NFL. We also discuss why it's a bigger deal to hit in the NBA draft versus the NFL. And we have all of the Niners news as well. Obviously, they lose a couple guys. They sign Leonard Floyd to a 2-year deal. They sign Yetur Gross-Matos to a 2-year deal. Kind of rotational pieces to get after the quarterback. The problem is, I thought you were supposed to be protecting your quarterback. What is going on there?
Opting out of that. They're
no.
just opting out of it.
So Chase Senior, we'll hear from him. He had some things to say about the Niners. And I guess, you know, it's the same story with the Kings. The market has left the typical area, and now the Niners can't really afford some of these dudes that have already signed. So where does that land you? Back in the draft, and you best not miss.
Yeah, I mean, it's part of the struggle of I don't want to say blowing the opportunity, but like, this is why when you have a Super Bowl and a fantastic season line in front of you, you have to take advantage because, you know, you're going to lose some guys. You may not be able to recoup. And then, of course, as we're seeing, like, other teams are going to continue to get better. And it's never going to be the same year after year. We talk about it with the Kings. It applies to the Niners as well. Things can change overnight. And with the amount of movement that's happening in the NFL right now, who knows? Like, I honestly don't even have a full grasp of what these teams are going to look like. But felt like the Packers got better yesterday. Felt like the Eagles getting Saquon made them better yesterday. It's really lining up for an interesting season, and we'll see if the Niners, you know, they haven't completely missed out on everybody. There's still tons of big names out there, but yeah, when it comes to the offensive line, doesn't feel like the Niners really felt like that was their biggest priority, which is interesting to say the least.
Yeah. I mean, it's almost as if, okay, we don't have enough to afford the best guys.
Right.
So we're just going to grind film, grind tape, and hopefully not miss in the draft. And we're just going to use the money that we do have to hopefully get after the quarterback. We'll see how that works out for them. Some other QB news. We'll talk about Kirk Cousins and finessing self.
Crazy.
All the bags in the world, Kirk Cousins.
All the Coles cash, dude.
All the Coles cash. He's the guy who needs that money the least.
The least.
He's not spending any of that money. We have a tweet that kind of breaks down and puts into perspective how much money Kirk Cousins has made. Jameis Winston is off to the Browns. Marcus Mariota is off to the Commanders. And the list goes on and on and on. We will hopefully have an update for you on Keegan Murray being listed as questionable. And we'll ask the question that I think gets asked about twice a year: is Dylan Brooks dirty? Because it wasn't the best looking thing. So we will discuss that as well. And also, you have another chance to win tickets to see Hasan Minhaj. Live Nation has teamed up with Sacktown Sports for your chance to see local legend Hasan Minhaj at the Safe Credit Union Performing Arts Center from beautiful downtown Sacramento, March 29th. That will be at 1 p.m. We will let Nate pick the number. Nate's going to pick the number. And of course, we have...
Don't take it.
Now I feel like ever since that person hopped on Sack Chat and said, "Hey, you guys have been doing it for me on Prop Talk," I feel like been ice cold.
Yeah.
I feel like we've been ice cold. So 1:30.
We got to reset.
We will try to get you and get you back for Prop Talk.
No Kevin Herter.
That's right.
Okay, so let's just get this out the way
now.
Oh,
we're going to do this now.
No.
We're going to bookend with
exactly. Okay. Prop Talk. Right. We're not doing it now. I'm saying to the people that we have our dog segment, we have Prop Talk. I picked Kevin Herter because Kevin Herter dropped out of double digits down to 9.5.
Which
didn't matter. You weren't supposed to pick him anyways.
I picked Kevin Herter 9.5. I'm trying to motivate this guy.
No, you're not.
I picked Kevin Herter 9.5, and he literally put up a donut.
Yeah.
No points.
In a dominant win.
In a dominant win.
Which was insane. A game he started in put up a zero. I couldn't believe it.
I couldn't either.
And it's literally your fault, which is crazy.
Well, I don't know about that.
No,
we had very clear rules. It was very simple. It was you're not allowed to bet. You specifically, Alan Stiles, were not allowed to bet on Kevin Herter.
Well.
And you breached that contract.
I picked him. I didn't BET on him. I just picked him. I just picked him.
Well, I'm glad you didn't BET on him.
I did not. Going back to who else may or may not play tonight, Middleton has been moved to questionable. Surprise, surprise. And we discussed this as well. OG Anunoby, I believe, he might be back tonight. I'm seeing reports that he is back tonight just in time for their showdown.
That's right.
On Saturday. That's just how it happens with the Kings. And 916-339-1140. If you want to be a part of the conversation, we also are going to peel back some of these layers as to what has gone right and wrong for the Kings. You know, a lot of times we'll sit here and we'll discuss, we need more from Harrison Barnes, we need more from Kevin Huerter, but there are layers to this. And to win these games and to improve, you need all hands on deck, and the Kings have not necessarily been getting those hands on deck. So we will take a deeper dive into what has not gone as expected for the Kings this season. When we get back, we preview the Bucks and discuss whether or not the Kings are going to be able to finally break the 15-game losing streak. The last time was 2016. Think back to a simpler time of 2016. That's the last time the Kings beat the Bucks, but they're going to do it tonight. A Bucks beam coming up. Sals and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports. Call or text at 916-339-1140.
Opportunity to win tickets to see Hasan Minhaj. The calls came in quick. Yesterday, we chose caller number 4, and they came in quick, so congrats to that winner. You have another chance at 1 p.m. thanks to Live Nation, who has teamed up with Sacktown Sports and the Bucks. I mean, you make this blockbuster deal to get Damian Lillard. It hasn't looked great. You end up it didn't look bad, but you fired your coach anyway because there were some games that you lost that you shouldn't have lost, and now you move on to Doc Rivers. Feels like they have started to turn things around. Chris, what are your feelings on the Bucks and the biggest issues for the Kings handling a team like this? We know their length, and if Chris Middleton plays, that's even more length. You know how much I love me some Bobby Portis.
There you go.
But hopefully tonight, Bobby is not balling. I feel like Bobby Portis, who you like the twins, right? The Lopez twins. I feel like Bobby Portis is my Lopez twins.
That's,
for you.
That's interesting. Mm-hmm. I feel like a lot of my mom or my girlfriend's mom, mm-hmm. like they know Bobby Portis as the scary eye man and like exclusively as that, which is awesome because it is. He's got an interesting look to him.
He's intense.
He's a baller.
He's intense.
His eyes are pretty intense, and they just get. They look like they're actually about to pop out of his head. So it's pretty crazy. But I'm excited to see the Bucks today. They definitely are starting to play a lot better. They started off, what if I have it here, 3-7 they started under Doc Rivers in their first 10. They have since gone 7-2. So they have definitely started to turn a corner. Mm-hmm. And from what I hear, I mean, I've listened to a couple of my boy Brooke Lopez, heard him talk about just kind of the difference of what it's been between Adrian Griffin and Doc Rivers. And it's kind of crazy because it's not like Doc's actually doing the opposite of what you would think. Brooke said he's just making it simple. Like, mm-hmm. it's just everything is very, hey, we're going to run Dame Giannis pick and rolls. We're going to run Dame Lopez pick and pops. And we're just going to have the offense work. And their defense is really the thing that is, I mean, that was what they were so great at this entire run. They lose Jrue Holiday. They lose their defensive edge. Since they've been incredible. I think I have a note here that they've held 6 opponents under 100 points since Doc took over. It's been 19 games. So in 6 of the 19 games that they've played under Doc Rivers, they've allowed under 100 points, and they only allowed it one time. That only happened once in the first 46 games, mm-hmm. with Adrian Griffin. So, I mean, they're kind of getting back to what they were great at, what made them great, and that makes them scary. And that makes that last game where the Kings lost in that overtime and Dame hits the game winner, makes it a bit of a missed opportunity, if you've heard that one before, you've been paying attention this year.
That is a bit of, you talk about theme, and that's not a great theme to have.
It's really not.
That is really a lot of what the theme has been this year for the Kings. And I continue to say, you know, what's been confusing to me, and as we discuss Giannis and what his legacy will be, I'm getting confused now. You had the Achilles, right? Where it looked terrible. He plays the next game. Now he's probable with a knee. It's not even the Achilles anymore. So I don't know if it's time to worry about Giannis and how much longer he can, you know, the Kings, they run and chuck. Giannis runs and dunks. So I don't know how much Giannis is going to be able, or how much longer Giannis is going to be able to play at this level. But, you know, now he's probable today, so the Kings are probably going to see him, and there's just no answer. There's just no answer when he's just doing whatever he wants to do.
No, I mean, you can do the classic Van Gundy build an effing wall, and like, that's kind of your best hope, is to take a lot of charges and just try and establish the paint. I mean, Trey Lyles and Davion are probably the two best Kings at taking charges. I guess you try and play them and tell them, hey, if you see Giannis driving at half court, just stand in front of the key and just take one for the team, I guess. Because that's the tough thing about going against Giannis, is it's easy to say, like, yeah, just build a wall, stand in front of him, hold your ground. But that dude's 6'11 and built like a Greek god. Yeah. Like, it's going to hurt to take that charge 3-4 times. And he's more than willing to take those charges.
And you might not get the call.
Probably won't.
Giannis is good. Giannis is slippery.
He is the merchant.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken, especially with Joel out now, I believe Giannis is number one in the NBA in free throw attempts. He is. With Joel out, Giannis and Joel are the only two players averaging 11 free throws. Of course, Joel's only played
11.
Joel's only played 65 games. Giannis has played 62. I'm sorry. Joel's only played 35 games. Giannis has played 62 and is at 11. Luka Doncic is in third and has 8.9. Well, so he's a whole trip, free throw trip to the line, more than the second place guy right now.
I have a dumb question, but I feel like it needs to be asked.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
Are you guys more worried if Giannis doesn't play tonight? And I'm sorry for asking it's been this kind of season.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes. Oh no, absolutely.
I'm worried either way. I'm worried either way.
I would say the Bucks, I would like to believe that if Giannis isn't playing, the Kings are absolutely in a better spot. And that's only because Giannis it would almost be like if Luka's out for Dallas. It's like, that's a really, really big piece to have out.
They did get the Clippers without Giannis, though.
I believe so,
Damian Lillard balled out.
I mean, they're happy,
But, yeah.
Do you guys believe, to follow up on that, do you guys believe in the Ewing effect at all?
I think that it's certain cases, and I think that Karl Anthony Towns is more the Ewing theory that I would look for.
I guess explain it, right? Patrick Ewing, when he went out for the Knicks, they kind of went off in the 90s, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And were good without him, and it kind of sprung this effect. Like, if you're missing your all-star, you're missing a great player, the team rallies and gets better. There's all these – it's kind of a silly theory, but some people buy into it.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I think it all has a timeline, right? I mean, you can go on a run, but ultimately you're not better without your best guys.
Yeah.
I'm more so worried about who they're going to match up with Giannis, because just talking about the Kings and the Ewing theory, that would not work out without Sabonis. That would not work
Definitely
out
not.
Without Sabonis at all. And I don't want to see Sabonis anywhere near Giannis, because with that foul merchant, Sabonis will be in foul trouble, and then you're cooked.
Yeah, and you know, you probably want HB on him. Maybe you throw, like I said, Trey Lyles on Giannis a lot. You know, maybe you throw Duarte out there just to kind of pick up some fouls. But yeah, I mean, that's it's not really a Kings specific problem, but the Kings definitely have an issue with guarding Paul George's, Kawhi's, you know, the LeBrons of the world anyway, KD's of the world anyway. Mm-hmm. Kings have nobody who even remotely looks like they would give Giannis any problems.
No, and a lot of teams don't.
Exactly.
Right, a lot of teams don't.
The Kings specifically feel like they have not even like a shot.
Well, yeah, I think the difference is the Kings don't even have guys that could give Giannis a different look.
No.
That might throw them off for
Give him a Moe Harkless or something.
Yeah,
you know?
Somebody like that. And that goes back to some of these conversations we've had as far as Harrison Barnes and why you have Coach Mike Brown saying, I'm not taking him out. I'm not starting him. It is really, I think that's the most glaring issue.
Yeah.
And people bring up, we had a caller yesterday. We need a wing. We can talk about that in the summer. But as of right now, the best they can do, it feels like, what is it, Pawn Stars? The best we can do for that's you right. is a Harrison Barnes. That's and that's right. exactly what the Kings have. And that's why you find him playing so much, because that's the best that they have as far as a wing type, wing forward type of defender. And Keegan Murray is just not there yet.
What do you think about, you know, we've talked a lot on this show and just in general this season about blitzing and you know, double teaming really in general. Do the Kings just look to double Giannis every single time? I mean, they did it with Nikola Jokic. Like, do you just double Giannis every time and make him into a playmaker? Like, that's not really where Giannis thrives. Like, I would guess that, especially if Middleton's not playing,
yeah.
I think I'm looking at it here. They started Jay Crowder instead of Chris Middleton. Do you maybe just double with Keegan and HB on Giannis and say, hey, if Jay Crowder's going to have a night, if he's going to, you know, turn back the clock and have a 5-for-8 three-point performance, we'll just have to live with it because it's better than Giannis. I mean, I'm looking at it. Him and Dame combined for 70 points the other day against the Clippers. So, you know, that feels – and Giannis went to the line 15 times, by the way. Mm-hmm. So that sounds – it just sounds better to have Jay Crowder beat you than to just live and die with Giannis and Dame killing you the entire game.
And the thing is, Jay Crowder's another veteran. This isn't going to be something that they haven't seen before.
Right.
And I would say one of the areas that a lot of people haven't talked enough about as far as Dame is his playmaking. Dame wasn't putting up these type of assists in Portland, right? He was a scorer.
Yeah.
He would that's really what he would do the most. But Dame has been playmaking. And the problem is you got two foul merchants. Okay?
Yeah.
Because you have Giannis and Dame.
Yeah, Dame's a bit of a foul merchant,
Dame
too, for
Dame will
sure.
get to the line. He's got a little bit more.
He don't want the press out there. But
integrity.
He's eighth right now in free throws per game.
So you got two dudes in the top 10.
And he shoots 92%. Do not let Dame to the line. Giannis is at 66%.
Exactly. So I think you have to throw a couple different looks and just hope that you can survive the storm. That's but, yeah, right. there's no good options here. And the question is, when we discuss Keegan Murray coming to bring that blitz, is Keegan Murray going to play? He's questionable.
Yeah.
We discuss whether or not he'll play and why
he's
in this, and who plays for him and why he is in this situation. Cough, cough, Dylan Brooks. Sals and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
This is Sacktown Sports.
Keegan Murray is being listed as questionable. He left the game on Sunday, then came back, which now we, you know, it felt like earlier on, Chris, when a guy, and I know it's not unique to this season, but when a guy comes back, you all take a breath.
Yes.
Now you basically can't take a breath until the That's next right. game because it's just adrenaline and the juices are flowing. Because the same thing happened with De'Aaron. And didn't De'Aaron miss two games when
he
that happened
sure
at the beginning of the season?
Yeah. I'm working on this theory, and I've heard it before. I've heard it more so with football talk. But I'm working on this theory that the worse that an injury looks in real time, the less serious it actually is. And, mm-hmm. like, if it looks minor and, like you said, like, the guy comes back, it's actually he's probably going to miss, like, a week or 2 weeks.
Huh.
Because you look at the Alperen Şengün injury.
Yeah.
It does not get any more gruesome looking than that. He
right.
twists his ankle, his knee buckles, he gets wheelchaired off, and mm-hmm. then they're saying, you know, actually there's not any structural damage to Alperen
right.
Şengün, and he could be back in about a week or so. So I just don't know what to do with injuries anymore. And I mean, you know, it wasn't the cleanest play for those mm-hmm. Who haven't seen it. Dylan Brooks kind of Keegan and Dylan Brooks are jostling for a rebound underneath the basket. And, you know, you can maybe, you know, give Dylan Brooks the benefit of the doubt, but it does appear as if Dylan Brooks takes an extra step towards Keegan and pretty much puts Keegan's ankle to touch the court. But, you know, It was unfortunate, but yeah, it did not look great in the moment.
It was dirty.
It was pretty dirty.
It was dirty. I mean, if you're looking at the play, Dylan literally seeks out Keegan's foot with his foot and just proceeds to step on
it. Where else was he supposed to put his foot? That's the Draymond question. Come on. Where else? Where else? Where else, guys?
Dylan Brooks, also known as Villain Brooks.
That's right, Dylan the Villain.
This is what he does. And now you have Keegan Murray, who is just questionable.
Innocent kid.
When was that, Chris, in Minnesota? When that happened, who started in place of Keegan?
I'm checking it now. It looks like, so Keegan ended up missing 4 games in that stretch, and the Kings pretty much ran out a lineup
gotta
of
be a Duarte.
Fox, Herter, and Duarte, all of those games. Duarte still, at that point in the season, it's pretty early. It was in the first 20 games of the year.
Right.
Duarte was still kind of in and out. He was struggling. Yeah, he only was playing like 15 minutes in a lot of these games. So if I had to guess if Keegan's going to miss at this point in the season, even though, here's the thing, though, Chris Duarte has gotten a lot of DNP CDs here recently, and I know that was kind of the Duarte thing throughout this year, but I don't know. Like, does it make sense to throw Chris Duarte in there right now after some DNP CDs, or should you maybe, you know, could the Kings maybe look to throw, I've been asking for it, Keon Ellis into the starting lineup and throw Kevin Herter at the 3 maybe?
Do it.
It's not perfect, but it's not that bad. Like, it makes a little bit of sense with how well Keon's playing, and doesn't really make a lot of sense to, again, bring Chris Duarte from not playing at all to then, hey, here's the starting spot again. Like, that's not really putting him in a situation to succeed.
Every time they try to move on from Chris Duarte, it feels like Avengers. Yeah. You couldn't live with your failures. And where did that lead you? Back to me.
That's right.
Every single time. You know, if
it's crazy,
if Keegan does play, can I just say it's time to start the conversation to start Keon Ellis instead of Kevin Herter? Is that crazy?
You're saying if Keegan plays, then starting, okay. I mean, I'm for it. The question becomes, and I think it's been the you know, and I present it as well, with starting Keon, like, does Kevin Herter, like, what are you hoping, not you specifically, but what would the team be hoping Kevin Herter's role then changes to off the bench? Like,
is
just a spot-up shooter pretty much at that point, which he kind of already is, but it makes a lot more sense to be in a spot-up shooter in a lineup with, you know, De'Aaron Fox, Domantas Sabonis, you know, Keegan Murray, and having HB out there as well. Like, it makes sense when you have good offensive weapons, but if he's coming off the bench and he's playing with Davion Mitchell and, you know, maybe Sabonis is still out there. Maybe Monk is out there for a 3-guard line. I don't know. It just doesn't seem to make as much sense. But I guess at this point, you're hoping to get whatever you can from Kevin Herter.
I think it's more about Keon and the defense.
Sure. I guess you can't even really think. It doesn't matter. You don't deserve
You have spent the whole season
that's totally fair.
In a good position, Kevin Herter.
Yeah.
And you haven't really done much.
Absolutely.
So I'm not counting on Kevin Herter giving me anything at this point in time.
That's very fair.
This point, you have to defend.
Yeah.
And at least we know that Keon can defend, and he can hit some shots too.
For sure.
Okay?
Yeah. Yeah.
So
he's not a brick out there. He's not Thabo Sefolosha out there.
No, he's not Andre Roberson. No. He can hit some shots, and right now you cannot stop anything.
Yeah.
So I just say give it a look, and why not?
I'm right there with you. I mean, I think Keon's deserved it. I think he's played well enough, and I think he's also started a couple games. Like, he started in that OKC game where the Kings won. I think he started in another game against a really good competition that the Kings won as well. It wouldn't be the craziest thing at this point in the season. Like you said, like, they need defense, I think, more than anything else, and Keon will provide that. He's just a disruptor. I wouldn't be opposed to it. It's just a matter of, I mean, it's really all up to Mike Brown, and if they're willing, because at that point you're giving up on Kevin. Like, do you feel like you could reinsert him? That was my question. If he's out of the lineup,
he's done.
At that point, like, how do you reinsert him? Because that would be, I think, the second or third time that you've benched him this year. Like, and with what, 20 games left? You know, I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm not saying it's a bad decision. It's just a I don't even know if risky's the right word. It's just you've kind of committed to this plan, and it would be a hard shift, I think, is
Klay Thompson got benched.
He sure did.
Thompson got benched.
He absolutely did.
Okay? Yeah. If Klay Thompson can get benched and not go under and still show up when his number got called, then I am not having a conversation about Kevin Huerter and his feelings or whatever it is. 916-339-1140. Am I crazy? Okay, Dwayne Baker on the Sack Chat says, Allen, out of his mind with this one.
I don't think so. I wouldn't say out of your mind. Absolutely not. I think it's a risk. It's definitely a risk. Like, you're paying Kevin, like, even just the optics of paying Kevin Huerter, whatever, $15 million, and then you're going to start this guy that you just gave you a three-year, whatever, $3 million contract to. Like, the optics don't make sense, but if you've, and I know for a fact Dwayne's watched the games for sure. I just think that if you've watched the games, you've seen Kevin is not, if he's not hitting shots, it's fine that he's better. He's improved on the defensive end, the deflections, all that stuff. He has been improved, but he's still getting killed on the defensive end. I don't know if he's not making shots, how you can justify just throwing him out there, hoping that he's going to start hitting them. Because the reality, too, is he's not the only shooter on this team.
That's what I'm saying.
You have other guys who can definitely fill in for those spots. And again, it makes me question what Kevin Huerter's role would be off the bench. But that's not really the – I mean, it is the Kings' problem. But, like, their thing is we need to at least get the best guys out there. And if Kevin's not one of their – he's going to have to figure it out. Like, he's going to have to figure out how to be effective in limited minutes, which he's already getting. At the very least, if he's going to be coming off the bench, maybe there's more of a sense of urgency of, hey, if I'm Kevin Huerter and I know I'm only getting 10 to 15 minutes, well, in that first stint out there, I'm going to put up at least two shots. And we're going to get an answer to whether or not I'm feeling it on that day. So it might be a positive, and it definitely might light a little fire under him. So I don't think that it's crazy. I don't think that it's the wrong thing to do. I just think it's a bit of a statement, and it's a matter of if Mike Brown is comfortable making that statement at this point in the season. And I'm willing to rock either way. I still believe that there's still hope that Kevin Huerter can, at this point, I mean, we're not hoping for him turning it around. We're just hoping for him getting hot at the right time. I think there's still hope for that. But at the same time, you've given him plenty of opportunity. Sure. And Keon, this isn't a playoff situation. Keon has played well enough to justify, I think, earning more minutes. And it can also lead to Davion Mitchell. If your problem is Davion is the one who actually, it can lead to both of them getting more minutes, but it's just Keon in that starting spot because he's a little bit more versatile. I think
that's right.
It leads to Davion eating more as well.
You need that length.
Yeah.
You need that length. Absolutely. On that team, and you can throw different looks at the point guards as well. You have all guests and callers join us from the Folsom Mike Honda hotline. Folsom Mike Honda, your one-stop Honda shop. Dwayne is responding, saying, do NBA players respond to constant fluctuation of rotations? Okay, you start today. Well, the bottom line is that's already been happening. Yeah. Okay, talk to Chris Duarte about that. He has no clue when he's playing. Keon has no clue when he's playing. Right. Davion has no clue when he's playing. The one guy who, they pulled him before, but the one guy in the lineup that has only been pulled once, or the person that they've said, here, Kevin, here. Yeah. Do what you got to do.
Yeah.
We're not fluctuating him.
Yes.
So explain this to me. How does Keon Ellis and Davion play better and shoot better than Kevin Huerter when they don't know when they're playing?
Exactly.
So yeah, I don't want to hear that.
Yeah, and with minutes fluctuating, like, you only get upset about minutes fluctuating if somebody's playing well and they can't get minutes, more like Keon and Davion. Mm-hmm. You don't complain about your minutes fluctuating when you're struggling. Like, that's what happens. That is a result of you struggling, and you're going to have to figure it out. Like, you can't just ride Kevin Huerter for 82 games and hope that he just eventually figures it out. At some point, you got to send the message, and I it's much like booing. Right now feels like a pretty good time if you feel like you've been thinking about maybe making that move. You still got some time to have it actually incorporate into being a solidified rotation. So if not now, then never. So I wouldn't say all for it, but yeah. I think that it's worth a thought, and at the least, it might be at least worth a look for a game or two.
The argument that I would have would not be for Kevin Huerter this season. It would be for if you do have plans to keep him, then that relationship could be strained. But as far as this season is concerned, I personally have seen enough.
Yeah.
But if you are not, hey, I don't want to rock the boat because we might have to bring him back.
Moving forward, and this, right.
Because if he does get moved, who's to say that he's going to start on the next team? You might be doing him a favor.
Right.
Your role might be changing. Yeah. All right? We got something here from the 415. We will read it when we return from a quick break. And also, we will talk Niners and the moves that they have made. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports.
Check us out on YouTube. Search Sacktown Sports and subscribe.
Ace on the track.
The Niners have extended safety George Odom to a 2-year extension, the max value of $10.2 million. So they are holding on. That secondary that is much improved from a couple years ago. But they can't be done yet. The Niners cannot be done yet. Real quick, getting to this 415. Shout out to the 415. I like Styles' idea. I would even flirt with even starting Trey at the four and move Barnes to the bench. Gives us more offensive options and size. It stretches the floor out a lot more. I just feel bad for Mike Brown because he's trying to do his best to make lemonade out of the non-lemonade that Monty McNair gave him.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. Trey at the four, I'm not as gung-ho about. It's just, you know, I think that kind of is a mixture of Trey's been a little bit disappointing this season.
That's the problem.
Yeah, and I just don't know how much more he's giving you over HB. HB is a little bit more mobile, and I think they like the speed that HB kind of allows them to play at, where Trey is just, I mean, not much, but Trey is just a little bit slower and a little bit more of your traditional four than HB is. So I think they just kind of like to play fast and, in theory, have the versatility of HB. But, you know, it's not perfect, and you're right. Like, I mean, I think at the end of the day, the problem is Mike Brown knows what kind of guys he wants out there. He just doesn't have those guys.
I think it could have been possible, right, if it was undeniable and Trey Lyles was just cooking.
Yeah, exactly.
Then I think it could have happened. But unfortunately, Trey Lyles is really taking a step back these last couple games. I think that coach is looking at these positions, certain positions, as just positions, not players per se. I know we have mentioned this before. But if you look at that position of that power forward, small forward situation, that Harrison Barnes role, right? They played 41 minutes, okay, and they combined for 5 points and three rebounds.
How many assists?
Zero.
Yeah.
So
that's a big problem.
And if you want to make the argument, oh, well, you just said if Keon or Davion, whoever, if they played more, they can make more of an impact. I think the problem is Keon, we know, would give you something that Kevin Herter is not giving you.
Both of them.
Both of them.
Keon and Davion.
Both of them. Yeah. Right now, Trey Lyles isn't really giving you anything that Harrison Barnes isn't giving you.
Exactly.
But if he had balled out, I do think.
Absolutely.
Coach didn't want to pull JaVale. Okay? He did not want to pull JaVale, and eventually he had no choice. Trey Lyles, and that's what they say all throughout high school, make it so that the coach does not have a choice. And Trey Lyles has not played well enough this season to put the Kings in a position to where they did not have a choice.
Yeah, exactly. He's played really well. I'm looking at his numbers. They're actually almost identical to what it was last year. But, you know, at the same time, like, it's just been up and down with Trey. He's been in and out of the lineup. He, of course, was hurt earlier in the year to start the season. And it just never really felt like he had a stretch of games where he was really, like you said, just kind of cooking. Mm-hmm. Hasn't had a lot of, like, 3-4 three-pointer games. It just hasn't looked as good this year from Trey. And, of course, like, a lot of the talk being Trey at the backup center, and haven't really seen much of it. And what we have seen, it hasn't really worked. So I think, I think you put it perfectly. Like, it's not like Trey is necessarily giving you something that HB isn't. You're just kind of hoping to get a better version of what HB is doing. And there's not really much reason to believe that that's going to happen. So I think you just got to give the edge to HB, who is, you know, just been in the past the more reliable, you know, option, and just a little bit, again, just a little bit of a quicker athlete than Trey is. But, you know, they're pretty much, for all intents and purposes, giving you about the same production.
Yeah, we will continue to break down the Kings and some of the issues that the Kings have had at the top of the hour. Switching over here to Niners and some of the moves that the Niners have made. They sign Leonard Floyd to a 2-year deal worth $20 million, has started 120 of the last 121 games in his 8-year NFL career with Chicago, Los Angeles, and Buffalo. Over the past four seasons, Floyd has registered 39.5 sacks with 216 tackles and four forced fumbles. I think the way I look at Leonard Floyd, and maybe it's not apples to apples, but it feels like a Frank Gore type situation for a pass rusher, right?
What do you mean by that?
You just know he's going to play, and you know he's going to be out there, right? He might not put up the crazy numbers per the amount of time that he has played, but he's out there. And I think that's something that the Niners have had an issue with. Somebody opposite Nick Bosa, they've tried multiple guys. It has not worked out.
Down the list.
You can go down the list, and who do you have? Yeah, you had Ebukam. You had a bunch of different guys. You weren't able to hold on to Cleveland Farrell, so he's gone now. So I think that this is a dude who I know a lot of Niner fans weren't super juiced. But at the same time, you got to get somebody in there. And they also go on to sign Yetur Gross-Matos to a 2-year deal. He was somebody that the Niners were really interested in back in Penn State.
Yeah.
Didn't end up drafting him, didn't end up getting a hold of him, but they do now. And he's another dude, which is crazy upside that the Niners are hoping they can unlock.
Yeah, he's massive. He's a massive, massive human in the base. He's one of those, off the bus guys where it's like he gets off the bus and it's just kind of for like, he walks off and you're like, oh my gosh, what, we have to play this school?
Yes.
Oh my gosh. He's 6'5", 265 pounds, 26 years old. He's a monster. It seems like the Niners might be trying a bit of a committee maybe on the opposite side. And those are two really, really good players. And, I think that they learned last year maybe that, you know, and there's some other factors that play into it, but maybe just throwing talent at the defensive line didn't necessarily equal havoc. I think that they might be finding that, having fresh bodies in there of just really quality guys on the opposite end of Bosa could be the answer. And actually really strange, not to bring down the mood, but I saw a really interesting note about Yetur Gross-Matos. Again, hate to bring it down, but when he was a kid, his father passed away saving him from drowning. And I think his father passed away drowning. And then his brother, his younger brother, insane, got struck by lightning and passed away.
Yeah, I saw that story going around. Obviously just incredibly sad, and he's trying to
and he's 26. Make his way. He's 26. He's been through a lot, man. That's crazy.
He's been through a lot.
Yeah.
I think if we're going back to the D-line, Drake Jackson's still there for the Niners too. A guy they were pretty high on who had 3 sacks in 1 game last year.
That's right.
But then injuries bugged him. He had surgery in mid early January this year. So, you know, start of the playoffs. He says he's going to be back for training camp, but that's a guy, another high upside guy potentially, who could do some damage. I don't know if he will, but it's potential.
And he looked great. I know it's just a preseason, but he looked great in the preseason. The thing is, Nate, that's basically how the Niners got Drake Jackson, because he was supposed to be a top pick at USC.
That's right.
What happened? Oh, injuries. Yeah. But the Niners, they've hit and missed on some of these dudes.
Yeah,
George
for sure.
Kittle drops because of injury in college, but ends up being a stud. So that, you know what the Niners like to do, and they hope that you can just hang around and do some things for you. Whether or not that happens now, it looks like Drake Jackson coming back with more injury is not great. But
coming off the surgery, not great. But, I mean, the injury thing, that's kind of why those guys slip to those positions.
But that's
in the draft,
I'm saying.
Right?
I think they try to find upside guys.
And it's I would say I like the way they do it because I think, in my opinion, it's worked very well.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I mean, you look at their roster, you look at all the almost said all stars, whatever it's called in the NFL.
All pros?
All pro. Oh, well,
no, yeah. Don't say pro bowlers, please.
Well,
pro
yeah, bowlers. I mean, that's what they, mm-hmm. yeah.
I don't like it.
okay. Tyler just, Huntley. Yeah, I also think of the 2016 Eagles that the year Foles won, 17. Mm-hmm. That D-line on the Eagles was committee. It was about eight to nine guys with, I mean, I don't want to say one star, but Fletcher Cox right. was kind of the guy.
Yeah.
And then they would rotate in and out. So I'm not upset with it. I'm not upset. I'm upset to see Eric Armstead go.
Of course.
Yeah.
Right, right. Well, they're still saying, oh, is there a chance if you don't sign this guy or that guy? Right. But
I don't think he's been officially released yet.
Right. Well, so. He can't be. At the same time, I think, as everybody else with that. What is it? Is it the June 1st or is it the March?
Oh.
I know there's two of them.
I
think it's June.
Yeah, I know the trade thing. I think the trade deadline is July 15th
mm-hmm.
Or somewhere around there because of the whole T. Higgins thing.
Right,
But, yeah, I'm not 100% on that. But anyways.
There you go. When we return, back to Kings Talk, peeling back the Kings issues and how they can improve towards the end of the season. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.